Hey y'all, welcome to another episode of Jesse's Fireside Chats. In this episode, I'll be talking about the rise of the quote-unquote pro-choice pastor. So, buckle your seatbelts, let's get started. So, the way I see it, the pro-choice pastor is the equivalent of someone who goes to college and somehow comes out thinking that 2 plus 2 equals 15. Now, I'm not aware of anyone who specifically graduated from college and thought that 2 plus 2 literally equaled 15, but a lot of people go to college more and they come out more confused than when they started, because part of it is because, as I said, there are whole fields, such as the critical theories, whose entire mission is not to expand on our knowledge base, that we have as a species, or to make new discoveries, or even to analyze actual trends, but rather to destroy what's already made and to systematically problematize all the contributions that people from certain groups or certain individuals have made to humanity's collective knowledge base, and to then say that therefore, if these theories are applied to their logical extremes, these theories, inventions, ideas, policies should not be taken seriously or should not be taught, or at least should be discouraged. That's the entire point of the critical theories, like critical race theory, critical gender theory, etc. And then part of it is just the fact that even if someone is teaching in a field that is not expressly designed to tear down what's already there, the education that they're providing is not always the best. And that's a problem even in K-12 schools, where they try to teach, they create the most basic curriculum, they want everybody to go through, and therefore, they try to get everyone through it. They shepherd everyone through it. So the material ends up being very watered down, very dumbed down. Not only to try to make sure that as many people pass as possible so they can check off those boxes, but also because of the time constraints, like trying to cram all 6,000 years of world history into one school year is going to be impossible without making some serious edits. And we can talk about those individual edits on their merits at some other point if you'd like. Whether the criticism that world history in America is taught from a Eurocentric perspective is fair or not. We can talk about that another day. But that's not what we're here to talk about today. What we're here to talk about is the people who claim to be not only Christians, but leaders in the faith. People who are claiming that their title is to shepherd the flock. Because that's what a pastor is. A pastor is a shepherd of a flock. Like, Jesus is our shepherd, but then these pastors are essentially shepherds of individual sheepfolds, if you know what I mean. And so if that's what you claim, or if you claim to be a teacher, which that word is used much more in the Bible than pastor, if you claim to be a teacher, then obviously your job is to teach, to make sure that people know what God says, what the Bible says, and can apply it to their lives, and can grow spiritually. I mean, you're not the only one responsible for people's spiritual growth, but you provide them the information that will help them with that. So if you're claiming that that's your job, that that's your title, then you have to have a good grasp of what the Bible says. And so I don't understand, unless they're just trying to get butts in seats and not rock the boat, I don't understand how so many of these people can then claim that they are pro-choice while also claiming that their job is to teach their flock and others about the Bible and what the Bible actually says. Because if you look at the Bible, there are several passages that indicate that God is very much pro-life. Before I get into those, before I list those off to you, which you can feel free to read them at your own time, at your own pace, I will say that even without knowing the individual verses, you do have to just use common sense. Would God create children and then plan deliberately for them not to live their own lives at all? Like not to get to see the world at all? Would God really make a woman carry a child just so that the child could die at her hands? Like, that just does not make sense. He is a loving God, and therefore to claim that he would make people, he'd create people just so that they could be killed at their mother's hands or by on their mother's wishes. Like, that does not, those are two different gods, and we obviously know that there's only one true God. Not only that, but now let's get into the verses that clearly debunk this position. So first, there is Psalm 139, 13 through 16, which essentially says, and I'm paraphrasing here, but essentially it says that God knits us together in our mother's womb. I mean, it doesn't say it in plural. It is talking about one person specifically, but obviously we know that that's true for everybody. People don't grow on trees, they don't fall from the sky, they're not supposed to be made in test tubes, that's an abomination, they don't grow out of the ground, you don't plant a seed and then you have a baby the next morning in the ground, like, in your yard, that doesn't make sense, that can't happen, you know. So obviously, everybody's knitted together in our mother's womb. And then there's Jeremiah 1 and 5, which says that God knows us before he even forms us in the womb. And as we know, the animals were created by God. But humans are the only ones that were created in God's image. Humans are the only ones that God can really know. I mean, I'm sure he can do anything, but basically my understanding has always been that he can't really know a dog. He can't talk to a dog. A dog is not, it's not that dogs have no thoughts or anything. It's just they weren't made in God's image. They don't know sin, which people didn't until Adam and Eve, but anyway, it's like, we were given dominion over the earth. God walks with us, with people. So, for God to know someone before he even made them in the womb, that clearly means that life is human. I mean, obviously he knows about everything that will happen in the future, but it doesn't say he knew about the person. It says he knew the person. And obviously we know, anyone who has gotten through like third grade should know there's a difference between knowing about someone and knowing someone or even something. I can know a lot about a rock I found on the street, but I don't know the rock because there's not much to know about a rock. I mean, I can't know its hopes and its dreams and what it likes to eat, where it lives, who its mom was, because none of those things apply to a rock. It's a rock. It doesn't have a mom. It doesn't have hopes. It doesn't have dreams. It doesn't eat. It doesn't live anywhere because it's not alive. It doesn't even have a name. It's just a rock. But that's not the case with people. Anyway, then the next one, the next verse is Exodus 20:13, which says, "Thou shalt not kill." So obviously, since a human life is a human life at conception and every time thereafter, if you kill that child in the womb, then you are killing, you are murdering, you are taking a human life. So, you know, basic Ten Commandments 101. And, you know, obviously the whole Bible is important. Everything that's in there for a reason. Even, yes, even Numbers is in there for a reason. And even if even I know that, and I did not go to seminary, did not go to school for theology, I'm just, you know, a Christian that goes to church and reads my Bible. I'm just an average Joe in when it comes to that particular field. I don't even feel like I have a calling from God to become a pastor. So it's not even, yeah, I don't even have a calling to do that, I don't think. So if even I know that, then anyone who claims to be a pastor, claims to be a leader, clearly does not know more about the Bible than I do, if they deny the fact that taking a human life in the womb is killing and goes against the Ten Commandments. And the Ten Commandments, as I said, everything in the Bible has a reason for being there, but last time I checked, Ten Commandments, pretty important. kind of hard to miss those. Even Sunday school kids learn about those. Anyway, the next passage is Luke 1:41-44. And it's talking about when Elizabeth and Mary were visiting each other, and Elizabeth was pregnant with John the Baptist. But it does mention that the baby leaped in the womb. Clearly means that it's not just a clump of cells in there, it's a person. He's a person in there. Clumps of cells don't leap, last time I checked. And then finally it's Job 31:15. So I would highly recommend checking all those verses out, and if you think of more that I did not get to, just feel free to reach out and let me know. I will actually be working on a book about this topic at some point when I finish, you know, my schooling and some other things, other projects. I plan to call the book Preborn Rights or Human Rights, so just stay tuned. Anyway, thank you for listening. I hope you've enjoyed this episode or considered it to be informative or food for thought. You can find this podcast on Spotify, Amazon Music, Audible, the RSS feed, iHeartRadio, Pandora, and Apple Podcasts. You can also contact us on our Facebook page at Jesse's Fireside Chats and on X at JFSC Pod. And I do use X more than Facebook when it comes to the social media for this podcast, but either one's fine. You can also send me an email if you'd like at jessesfiresidechats@gmail.com. That's JESSEAS firesidechats@gmail.com, and it's all one word, no capitals. Anyway, also no pressure, but if you want to help support me, I have a Ko-fi, so it's KOFI.com/Jesse's Fireside Chats. Would really appreciate it. And I hope you'll come back next time and pass this along to anybody you know that might be interested. Thank you again, and have a blessed day.